Welcome to Walk With Me, a podcast where we discuss issues surrounding the Christian faith and society. I am your host, Emmanuel. Today, I am joined by Mr. Floyd Brobel, who serves as the CEO of the Voice of the Martyrs Canada, a ministry dedicated to remembering and assisting the persecuted church worldwide. Growing up in a family instrumental in the early development of the ministry in Canada, Mr. Floyd was influenced early by the realities of Christian persecution and the courage of believers who remain faithful under pressure. As CEO, Mr. Floyd provides strategic leadership while upholding the organization's long-standing focus on prayer, advocacy, and equipping persecuted Christians to stay faithful and effective in regions hostile to the gospel. He is also the author of the book titled Trouble on the Way, Persecution in the Christian Life. In this book, he delves into the biblical and theological foundation of persecution and discipleship. Mr. Floyd is widely respected for his thoughtful engagement with issues of religious freedom, Christian witness, and the global church. This is the final episode with our guests. Today, we will discuss how digital surveillance and other modern forms of state control have influenced Christian persecution. We will also examine our biblical, theological, and moral duty as the body of Christ to support other persecuted Christians.
Based on church history that we know, how can Western believers support persecuted Christians meaningfully without fostering dependency or unintentionally imposing Western solution to a local issue?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's something that we're always struggling to do. So I would say that the best thing we could do is to pray. Persecuted Christians ask that we pray for them. They ask that we remember them. They ask that we give them the tools that they need to do the work of the church. So they're not looking for building huge churches. They're not looking to pad their homes. They're not looking for those things. They're looking for ways that they can stay engaged in their community. And so we're always trying to find solution to those problems. Instead of building dependency, we try to build sustainability within a community. So if there are Christians that have lost work or can't be hired, how can we help them with microloans or skills training to build sustainability within their communities? In Bangladesh, one of the locals got baptized. As soon as he was baptized, it came over the loudspeaker that, and they said his name, that he had been baptized. So don't sell to them in the market anymore. Don't give them access to the well for water. And so they had to go to another village to get food. We were working with our ministry partners in Bangladesh. And he said to us, they have a little church building and we've done some research. We know we can build a well there and get them access to water. But I want to tell the church that this water is not only for you, it's for the community. So while they rejected you and discriminated against you, you will build a well and you will have lots of water and you will allow the community to come to the church and get access. So you operate in the opposite spirit. So those are the type of projects that we love to get engaged with because it's putting tools in the hands of Christians and churches to be able to reach out to their communities with love. This is one of the resources, things that we do. We hope that we don't build dependency upon our programs or resources, but we simply try and find ways that we can properly give them the right tools that they need to do the work of the church.
Thank you so much. You listen to their problems, let them propose a solution and help them build a sustainable project and resource. What advice would you give to listeners and Christians in particular, or those who are considering joining the faith, especially those who are afraid to share their faith due to fears of persecution, such as losing their jobs, friends, family, finances, or even their own life?
Yeah, and this is where the rubber road for the Christian walk, right? When we think of persecution, we hear stories that come from places like Nigeria, China, Middle East, or Pakistan, India. We hear these incredible stories and put ourselves in the shoes of these people, and we wonder if someone put a gun to my head and said, deny Christ or I'll pull the trigger, would I take the bullet? In our minds, we would say, I hope I would be able to not deny Christ and take the bullet. It's a difficult question to ask, right? The question people often ask themselves, am I willing to die for Christ? If you're a Christian, you've already died to Christ. In your baptism, you were buried and raised to new life in Christ. So the question really is, am I willing to live for Christ? Because we know that we're buried in our sins, we have a new life. life that cannot be taken away. God makes martyrs, not men, right? And so we live in his hands. The question comes, every day, you and I, in our day-to-day activities, we have opportunities to proclaim or deny Christ. Probably most of them come in just little everyday moments. We need to ask ourselves and have that filter. Am I proclaiming Christ or am I denying him? The way that I drive, the way that I talk to people in the grocery store or people at the mechanic shop or the bank, the way I treat people, the way I treat my family, the conflicts that I have with someone in church, at work, or within the family. Of course, there's always family conflicts, right? How am I proclaiming Christ in the midst of that? How am I living a God-like Christ Jesus in the midst of my ordinary day-to-day life? And I think that if we focus on those little things of seeking to proclaim Christ, to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit prepares us for the bigger tests that come. If we think that we could endure the tests on our own strength, we would fail every time. Richard, he said that if he would have known the type of suffering that he would have had to endure before he went to prison, he said, I don't know if I would have been able to do it. When you're in the midst of the situation, the grace of God comes at your weakest moment and you find that you have more strength when you trust in him. And so for us, I think that as we live our day-to-day life in faith, we find this is where our change happens, right? If we say to ourselves, if we live a quiet Christian life, if we don't engage anybody, we can be polite, but if we don't engage people with truth, we don't speak into their lives, we don't really change, right? And we change when we allow ourselves to become uncomfortable for the sake of Christ. And I think in the West, now's the opportunity to do it. Now's the time to start practicing. And believe me, for all of you who are listening, I'm preaching to myself here. We can get so comfortable in our Western lifestyle, in our houses and the things that we have. Our only worry is, oh, we got to fix the car again. And the food prices are rising. And these become our complications that cause us worry. But we need to break out of that mind shift and focus on what are the day-to-day things? Like, what is God calling me to do in this day, in this moment? How can I be a blessing to others? And it's not necessarily preaching. I've been reading a book called Tactics by Greg Kochel, and it's talking about apologetics and how to share your faith. And he made a very liberating comment for me. He said, sometimes people make the mistake that when they engage others, they think that by the time they're done talking, they need to lead that person to make a decision for Christ. He said, those opportunities are very rare. He said, what I hope to do is put a pebble in their shoe so that when they walk away, there's something that's sticking with them, bothering them, because it's the Holy Spirit's work to change the hearts of people. All we are doing is being able to speak into what the Holy Spirit is doing. We can leave a pebble in a shoe. If we can have a mindset that we're tending the garden, right? We're working in the garden. We're pulling out weeds. We're doing this and that. We're not necessarily going to harvest right away. That frees us up. I think understanding, like having a good grasp of apologetics, not for the sake of arguing, but for the sake of knowing how to articulate what we believe. Knowing a solid theology, a Christian biblical worldview, knowing that the Bible has the answers to all the questions people are asking and how to point people to those things helps us prepare for persecution. Is it uncomfortable? Yeah, absolutely. It's countercultural to talk to people about spiritual things. Don't talk about politics, but absolutely start talking about your faith. I think that we can be winsome. I think that we don't need to be Bible thumpers. I think that we just engage people where they're at, and just you and I are having this friendly conversation. We can have those friendly conversations with our neighbors and people and ask them, have you ever thought about the big burning questions in life? How do you deal with when the world seems dark? How do you deal with those things? Asking those questions and finding out where they're at and not feeling like it's our responsibility to convert anybody, because it's not. It's the Holy Spirit's job. All we need to be doing is God has given us a testimony, and we don't bury that testimony. We put it to work and we will see it multiply. But again, that comes with a warning that you will see fruit, but you will also face opposition when you do that. Be prepared for it. Don't do it alone. I can't stress enough being part of it, whether it's in your small group, whether it's in your church, don't do it alone. Seek prayer from others to help you and be faithful in that.
Thank you. What's the title of the book by Gregory Kochel?
Tactics.
Tactics. Okay. I was able to find him. So Tactics. Again, and one of the reasons why I always tell people to engage in something like this. Yes, we think of theologians as those who are academically trained, but there is an article I read some years ago, and it says there are three types of theologians. We have the everyday, or what we call common. We have the official, and we have the academic. The academic are your professors of theology that may or may not be teaching outside of their school. And then we have the official, your pastors, your evangelists, your teachers. And then we have the common. And I think the common is something that you are really pointing out. 1 Peter 3:15. Be ready to give an answer of the hope that is in you with gentleness and with respect. That is where we got our word apologetics from. So it is not just for the people who are standing up on the pulpit or having a podcast. Be ready to give. But how can you be ready if you are not reading, if you are not learning, if you are not reading the word? The other thing that you pointed out, which I want to stress, is that yes, we might ask ourselves the question of if someone should point a gun at me or tell me to deny Christ before I can get a promotion, will I do that? He said, yeah, those might be the right question for then, but I guess what we are supposed to be dealing with right now is the Bible verse that said, if you are faithful in little thing, you'll be faithful in the bigger thing. Are we faithful even in the little thing? How is the relationship with your wife and husband? How is the relationship with your kids? How is your relationship with your co-worker? Because if you are not faithful in little thing, trust me, that is a big one. But how then will you be able, because you can count on your own experiential learning, not just what you're reading. And you can say, God was faithful during this experience. Now that I have a gun pointed to my head, I know he'll be faithful to fulfill his own part, where he said that, you know what, he has gone over there to prepare it for me so that where I can be. Yes, the question can be asked. We can't throw the question away. Instead of thinking of a 20-story building, why not start with the foundation first? Yeah. So again, thank you for that. Second to my last question would be, during our private chat, you talk about your book, Trouble on the Way, Persecution in Christian Life. Can you tell us what the book is all about? What led you to writing and publishing that book, and how can we get a copy?
You can get it at our bookstore. If you go to umcanada.com, you can look for Trouble on the Way. I believe we also have it in hard copy. We also have it in audiobook. So if you go to One Audio, you'll see it there. We're trying to find other platforms to make that available, as well as an e-reader version on our website. Yeah, so that's umcanada.com, and look for the bookstore. But yeah, Trouble on the Way was coming back to that verse in Timothy. All who seek to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Many Western Christians have a hard time with that because they're trying to understand what is persecution. And in my years and my own questions of growing with this mission and trying to understand what does persecution look like for someone living in Canada? We're not facing the difficulties that they are in China, where pastors have been arrested, pastors have been killed in prisons. And we're not facing like in other parts of the world where churches are burned or Christians are attacked as they walk to church or their houses are destroyed. In Pakistan, there you read about mob violence and whole Christian communities, houses being burned. Or in Mexico, where in certain parts of Mexico, Chiapas State, where Christians are rounded up and expelled from, forced out of the community and having to go, they lose everything, their homes, their properties, and they're forced out. We hear those stories, and every Christian will be persecuted. So trying to bring an understanding of what is persecution and how do we address that as Christians living in Canada? We go to the Bible for a definition of what persecution is. Persecution is the attempt of the enemy to steal a Christian witness or to silence Christian witness, if not kill it altogether. Biblically, persecution has a scale that ranges from ridicule to being discredited, disinformation, and goes into its more hostile forms of torture, arrest, imprisonment, martyrdom, right? So we see a whole scale, a spectrum. And so what I tell Christians is, yeah, in Canada, have you ever been mocked because you were a Christian? And they would say, oh yeah, I've been mocked because I was a Christian by friends. How did that make you feel? How did you deal with that? And each chapter looks at each thing. So the first chapter look at ridicule. What is ridicule? What does that look like? How does that affect Christians? We think ridicule is harmless, but it can be very detrimental to people. It can cause them to shrink back and not want to witness for Christ. But then I look at the ridicule and how was Jesus ridiculed? And what was his response to ridicule? And what lessons can we learn from that? So through each chapter that deals with ridicule, harassment, discrimination, defamation, and all the way to martyrdom, right, I look at how it was in the life of Jesus. And then I weave a story, like a story that reads like a novel, to make the point, right? I remember when I first joined Voice of the Martyrs, I was with a group and I had asked for prayer because I said, I got to speak on this topic of persecution. Can you pray that? And an older gentleman came up to me and said, Floyd, just tell the stories and let the Holy Spirit do the work. The power of story is incredible. And so I make a story weave all the way through the book. It was my attempt to help Western Christians understand how persecution is a normal part of the Christian life. For those who seek to live faithfully, seek to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, to do the work that he's called us to do, to be a disciple of Christ, persecution is part of the equation. I was really surprised. The book has been translated in many different languages right now and helping persecuted Christians in their context, and they're reading it and being encouraged by it. So the book, I had a Western audience in mind, but God had a global audience in mind and has been using it that way. So that's the premise of the book. And so my prayer is that Christians read it, and especially Christians in the West, and not get enamored by the horrors of persecution, but really that they would see the church in action and growing in the midst of difficulty and opposition, and that we have a faithful God who stands Amen. With us through all the opposition we may face. Canada, we don't know what type of, we don't know always, will persecution become worse in Canada? Probably yes, but to what degree, we don't know. All we know is that we have to be faithful. Richard Wurmbrand said that it's not the level of persecution that counts, that God looks at. It's the level of our obedience and faithfulness. And so the Christians in Canada, the people on your podcast, just be faithful in whatever level of persecution God's called you to endure, because he will equip you to endure it. He's looking at your obedience and faithfulness. So continue to be faithful in him.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time. What's You're on welcome. The horizon for VOM Canada? Any new publication, focus area you are excited about, and how can listeners get involved with Voice of Martyr Canada?
So one of the things on the horizon, we've already been doing it, but there's something that we're looking to develop even further, is called Theology of Persecution and Discipleship. Glenn Penner, former CEO of Voice of the Martyrs Canada, he passed away several years ago from cancer. He wrote a book called The Theology of Persecution and Discipleship. It's a systematic theology looking at biblically how persecution and discipleship are links together. And so he was able to leave us this legacy, and we've been able to take it. We're now beginning to develop the greater teaching, teaching this internationally. Persecuted Christians, we're doing this in Nigeria. We've taught this in Pakistan. And Christians around the world, especially Christians that are persecuted, don't always even understand why they're being persecuted. They're just remaining faithful, right? Mm-hmm. But when they understand that persecution comes because of their allegiance to Christ and because of their faithfulness, their eyes are opened. And sometimes Christians wonder, maybe I'm being persecuted because I've displeased God for some reason. But no, that's not why you're persecuted. It's been incredible for them. And then we're looking to develop domestically as well. So really looking to bring this into Bible colleges and seminaries, but also building a training center at VOM Canada where this theology is not only taught, but it's able to develop even further. Because first and foremost, our mission is to persecuted Christians. We're looking to serve them. But we also recognize that we have an opportunity to speak to the church in Canada, especially with some of the issues that the church is facing in Canada. And so coming alongside with a robust theology of persecution and discipleship is so key. And I think that God has uniquely placed us in Canada to be able to develop that and bring this forward. So that really is something that excites me. Our magazine, our monthly magazine, we have two. We have a magazine called One Voice, which we're continuing to develop and grow. We've really done some excellent work on that over this past year, and really trying to highlight the hope in the midst of all of this, the hope that is not only for those that are suffering for Christ, but hope for every Christian, a hope for the church, so that it doesn't shy away from some of the tough things that are happening. But at the end of the day, persecuted Christians are some of the most joyful people I've ever met. Why? Because they have this eternal perspective and this hope of glory that awaits them. Would they rather be more comfortable than being persecuted? Absolutely. But they have hope. I think of one pastor in China, a missionary in China, who was arrested and thrown into prison. While in Canada, if we're arrested, that's probably one of the worst things that can happen to us. But this missionary said, well, my call hasn't changed. My location's changed. So in other words, I'm in prison and I'm still a missionary. So it's exciting to see that and to be able to bring that to Canada. And then we have another magazine called Table Talks, and that's more for youth, but it's geared to parents. How do parents today teach their kids to disseminate between the lies infiltrating our society and stand in biblical truth? It's lessons from persecuted Christians brought at a kid-friendly level, but really a way to engage parents, to engage their children with understanding that, hey, this is what it means to count the cost, pick up your cross and follow Christ. Are you equipped and ready to do that? We see incredible resiliency and excitement in Christian youth as they read the material. They are also out for Jesus and they are ready to suffer with him. So those things are really exciting to me. So how Christians in Canada can get involved, I would say go to our website. I'll say it again, vioncanada.com. There's a number of things that you can do. You can subscribe. One Voice and Table Talks are absolutely free. It comes monthly. It's a year subscription. If you want to know what's happening in the world today and how to engage and build fellowship with persecuted Christians, and for your kids or Sunday school kids to do that, I'd encourage you to subscribe to One Voice and Table Talks. Subscribe to our weekly persecution and prayer alerts. If you want to know how to pray and what to pray for persecuted Christians, seek us out on social media and raise a voice within your communities for persecuted Christians. You can request a speaker to come to your church, life group, men's group, women's group, or missionary committee. We're willing to come so you can join us. These are some of the ways you can get involved.
Thank you. Please, can you wrap up this session with prayer? Thank you so much for joining us.
Father, we just thank you for your presence with us. God, we thank you that you will never leave us or forsake us, that you promised that you would always be with us. Father, we thank you that where there is darkness, your light shines brighter. God, I pray that for each one listening in on this podcast, you would equip them to be beacons that shine your glory in a world that so desperately needs to see you, God. I pray that you would equip us, that you would strengthen us, that you would embolden us, Father, to speak your words, to speak when you call us to speak, to act when you call us to act, that we would step forward in faith with a deep trust of knowing who you are, knowing that you are faithful, knowing that you are with us. And Father, that we would walk in obedience to your word, whatever the cost, that we would walk in obedience to your word. And I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to share this message. I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to raise a voice and awareness of our persecuted brothers and sisters. And we just thank you, Father, for your church in this world, that though it is persecuted, it is moving forward, it is growing. You have established it, Father. You are protecting it. And we, as members of your church, can step forward in all confidence, knowing, God, that you are for us and you are greater than he who is against us. And so we give you praise and we give you honor and we give you glory because you are worthy. And we pray this in your son's name. Amen.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That brings us to the end of this episode with Mr. Floyd. Thank you for joining me today as we discuss how digital surveillance and new forms of state control have influenced Christian persecution. We also discuss our biblical, theological, and moral duty as the body of Christ to support other persecuted Christians.
For more information and resources, including original songs, books, articles, and podcasts, all written and composed by Emmanuel through God's grace, please be sure to visit our website at www.emmanuelisrael.com. That's www.emmanuelisrael.com.
As always, thank you for listening to Walk With Me. Be sure to come back next time for the next episode. Until then, may God bless and keep us all in his name. Amen. Don't forget, walk with me as I walk with Christ. Amen.